November's the month of Thanksgiving. And sadly, so many people in our world confine Thanksgiving to a single day. November 24th, by the way, this year. But for the Christian, Thanksgiving should be a way of life. G.K. Chesterton, a turn of the century English writer, said, "When it comes to life, the critical thing is whether you take things for granted or take them with gratitude." The Apostle Paul wrote four letters while he was in prison in Rome. They're called his prison epistles. He wrote Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and the little book of Philemon. Now, as you study these books, you pick up from the book of Philippians a definite note of joy. Think about it. Joy while he was in prison. In fact, Philippians 4, verse 4 is one of the classic verses in all the Bible on joy. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. But in the book of Colossians, we have a definite note of thanksgiving. Now think about it, folks. Be thankful when you're in prison or not. Rejoice when you're in prison or not. So I think leading up to Thanksgiving Day, it would be good for all of us to take a peek into the book of Colossians and see what this book has to say about Thanksgiving. In fact, in three separate passages in the book of Colossians, Paul emphasized three different aspects of Thanksgiving. The passage we will look at this morning, Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 through 14, he says, "Give thanks joyfully." Next week, Lord willing, in chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, he encourages us to give thanks abundantly. He uses the word overflowing, which refers to a river overflowing its banks in a flood. And then finally, in chapter 3, verses 15 through 17, he says, "Give thanks continually." Every one of the verbs in that passage is in the present tense, which in the Greek text has the idea of continuous action. So in today's text, we discover four saving actions by God whereby his people can joyfully give thanks. Now be ready. This is going to be a congregational participation sermon. So don't miss it. Don't blow your chance at participating, okay? Notice, first of all, we can joyfully give thanks because God has qualified us to share in the inheritance. Notice Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. In fact, two words before verse 12. "With joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance in the saints in light." The New Testament did not have verse divisions when it was first written, or chapter divisions. And so many of the newer translations put the last two words of verse 11 with verse 12. "With joy giving thanks," or "joyfully giving thanks," or "giving thanks joyously," they translate it. Now, why or what causes us to be joyful in our thanks to God? Well, notice, first of all, God has qualified us to share in the inheritance. The word qualified has the idea of he's made us worthy, or he's made us fit, or we are sufficient to share in the inheritance. It's not that we are worthy in and of ourselves, but God has made us worthy. In fact, this word is used 3 times in 2 verses in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, and is translated sufficient or sufficiency. Not that we are sufficient or we are worthy in ourselves to claim anything as coming from us, but our sufficiency, our worthiness is from God, who has made us sufficient to be ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Folks, God himself has made us worthy. But made us worthy for what? Notice verse 12. He has made us worthy. He has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He's made us worthy to share in the inheritance. Well, now, what are we talking about when we talk about the inheritance? Well, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4 describe it for us. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. Notice, we've been born again to a living hope, and we've been born again to an inheritance. What kind of an inheritance? An inheritance that's imperishable. When someone perishes, they die. But if our inheritance is imperishable, that means it's death-proof. But it's also undefiled. This word was used, the word defiled, was used to talk about tarnished silver. And that's a very good description of everything in the world today, isn't it? Everything in our world today is tarnished by the stain of sin. The best relationship, the best job, the best place to live, all carries that tarnish of sin. But notice our inheritance. It's undefiled. It's sin-proof. So it's death-proof, it's sin-proof, and it says it is unfading. It's time-proof, folks. Did you ever wonder, won't it kind of get boring in heaven? You know, think about after 10 million years, won't heaven get a little old, a little boring? You know, we get burnt out on things. We call it burnt out on things so easily and so quickly. I remember growing up, we never ate Spam. Now, you might be saying, well, good for you. But the reason we did not eat Spam was because my dad served in World War II, and that's all he had to eat. He got burnt out on spam, if he didn't see another can of spam in his life, it would be too soon. That's the way it is with all of us. We get burnt out on even good things. Well, I can't tell you whether or not spam's good. I assume it's... How many of you think spam's good? Raise your hand. Oh, there's a bunch of you. Okay, well, good. But we can get burnt out on good things. But our inheritance is time-proof. Unfading. Think about it, folks. Death-proof, sin-proof, time-proof, and that's the inheritance we share in. Hey, how about a joyful, big thank you, Jesus? Amen. Ah, very good. I was afraid I was going to have to encourage you on that line, but you did a good job. So you got a passing grade on the first congregational participation. Thank you, Jesus, that you've qualified us to share in the inheritance. But it doesn't stop there. Look at the second saving act of God in verse 13, whereby we can give him joyful thanksgiving. The first part of verse 13 says, he has delivered us from the domain of darkness. God has rescued us from the domain of darkness. The word delivered has the idea of rescued or delivered or saved. It's the same word Jesus uses in Matthew chapter 6, verse 13. What we commonly know as the Lord's Prayer or the model prayer, when Jesus taught us to pray, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. One writer puts it this way: whether this is taken as a reference to being delivered from the evil one or from evil generally, the disciple is asking to be freed from the power that dominates this age and is constantly threatening him. Deliver us from evil. Years ago, Our Daily Bread had the devotional booklet. Maybe many of you still read that wonderful little devotional booklet. But it had an article entitled, He Has Taken Our Heads Out. And in this article, it reads this way. A man returning from a visit to a mission field in Africa tells an interesting story about the circumstances behind the translation of Colossians 1:13 into the dialect of the people. He says that the words "has delivered us," referring to the liberating power of Christ in salvation, are rendered "he has taken our heads out." When the man first heard that strange expression, he inquired how it could possibly convey the meaning of that verse. The missionary told him that years before, the tribe's people had lived in terrible slavery. Huge iron collars attached to heavy chains had been placed around their necks. They dared not strain to get away because these cruel collars would bruise their throats and choke them. When they were finally set free from their oppression, the best part was being released once and for all from those confining iron bands. Therefore, when they wanted to describe the wonderful spiritual deliverance they had experienced from the awful power of Satan, they could find no better way to express what Jesus had done for them than to say, He has taken our heads out. Folks, we joyfully thank God because we share in the inheritance and because we have been delivered from the domain of darkness. How about a joyful thank you, Jesus?
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, you're on A ground now. That was great. The third saving act of Jesus in this passage we find in the last part of verse 13. Not only has he delivered us from the domain of darkness, but he has transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. Folks, that's God's way of working. Delivered from, transferred to. Think about Israel of old. God delivered them from their slavery and bondage in Egypt and transferred them to the promised land. Exodus chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Go and gather the elders of Israel together, God commanded Moses, and say to them, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, has appeared to me, saying, I observed you and what has been done to you in Egypt. And I promise that I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt to the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, a land flowing with milk and honey. Delivered from slavery, transferred to a land of milk and honey. But it's not just Israel of old. For Christians, God delivers us from the law and transfers us to grace. Romans chapter 6, verse 14, for sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. You know, I'm reading in the Old Testament now. I'm in the book of Numbers, almost done with Numbers. That means I've slogged my way through Leviticus and almost all of Numbers. And I tell you, I can't tell you how many times Romans 6:14 comes to my mind. I've been delivered from being under the law to under grace. Thank you, Jesus. But Philippians chapter 3, verse 21 tells us there's a future deliverance from and transferred to. Jesus will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Delivered from these lowly bodies that are subject to sickness and illness and death, and transferred to a body like unto his glorious resurrection body. We joyfully thank God because we share in the inheritance and have been delivered from the domain of darkness and transferred into the kingdom of his dear Son. How about a thank you, Jesus? The fourth and final saving act that should result in joyful thanksgiving, we see in verse 14. God has bestowed upon us redemption, the forgiveness of sins, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. There are several words in the New Testament translated redemption. This word has the idea of the price that is paid to release someone. So it's the idea of setting free, deliverance, release. Picture in the New Testament time, someone on the auction block of slavery. And a person comes along and they purchase that person. But instead of making him or her their slave, they release them. They purchase their freedom for release. That's what this word pictures. We've been purchased by the blood of Christ, and he has released us from the slavery and bondage of sin. But not only have we been redeemed, but we have been granted the forgiveness of sins. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 7 and 8 describe this more fully. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight. You know, if I was going bankrupt and Bill Gates heard about it and would say to me through perhaps one of his attorneys or tax accountants, Mr. Green, I'm going to meet your need out of my riches. Well, that'd be nice. I'd be excited about that. But out of implies there's a whole bunch left over. But if he were to come to me and say, Mr. Green, I'm going to meet your need according to my riches, I'd be real excited. Because Bill Gates, according to, is a whole lot more than anybody else is out of. Or anybody else is according to. Notice, Jesus has forgiven our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. And I love this next verse, verse 8, which he lavished upon us. He didn't just parcel it out a little bit here and a little bit there. No, he forgave our sins according to his riches, which he lavished upon us. We joyfully thank God because we share in the inheritance and have been delivered from the domain of darkness and transferred into the kingdom of his son and received redemption, the forgiveness of sins. How about it, folks? No matter what your circumstances are heading into Thanksgiving, if you're a believer, you can be thankful because God has taken care of the greatest need in your life. So don't let the evil one come along and say, oh, your life is so miserable, it's terrible. You what do you have to be thankful for this Thanksgiving? Look at him in the eye. Well, you wouldn't look at him in the eye, but you'd speak to him in your heart and say, listen, I am a child of God. I am an heir of Jesus Christ. I've been delivered from the domain of darkness, and I've been transferred to the kingdom of his dear son. I've been redeemed, forgiven of my sins, and heaven is my inheritance. I got a lot to be thankful for. Thank you, Jesus. We can always, at all times, be thankful for our salvation. Now the question comes, dear friend, do you have that salvation for which you can be thankful? Have you ever realized that you were a sinner, separated from God because of that sin? But that God did something about it. He sent his son to this earth to live a perfect life and to die on a cross to be that bridge of separation between you and God so that you could have eternal life. Man, what a great time of the year to receive Christ as your Savior. Always a good time, but a Thanksgiving time that will bring in your heart a continual wave after wave after wave of thanksgiving to Jesus for what he's done for you. Man, what a great time of the year to trust Christ as Savior. Let's bow together in prayer. Father in heaven, we do cry out to you. Thank you, God. Thank you for your great salvation that qualifies us for that inheritance that's death-proof, sin-proof, and time-proof, that delivers us from the domain of darkness, that transfers us to the kingdom of your dear Son, and that redeems us and gives us the forgiveness of sins. Lord, I pray for someone today who has never had that experience because they've never trusted Christ as their Savior. Lord, I ask you in Jesus' name to speak to that heart, to draw that man, that woman, that boy, that girl to yourself so they can receive the gift of eternal life. And Father, for Christians who are struggling in their thankfulness to you, things have taken such a terrible turn in their life. They're having a difficult time being thankful. God, help them to look to you and say, Lord, for my salvation, I thank you, Jesus. Now, dear friend, if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, I would like to ask you right now to look to him and pray a prayer of faith, a prayer of asking for his forgiveness. And just say words like this. Make them your own words, but mean them. Say, dear God in heaven, I know that I'm a sinner, and my sins have separated me from you. But God, I also know that you love me. You love me so much, you sent Jesus to die on the cross for those sins. God, you chose rather to give up your Son than give up on me. And right now, as best I know how, I am trusting Jesus, who died, was buried, and rose again so that I could have eternal life. Thank you, God, for saving me. Now, with all of our heads bowed and our eyes closed, did you pray that prayer, dear friend? I'd like to include you in this close as I close in prayer. Oh, I won't come to you or call you out or embarrass you in any way. But as I look over to this section of the worship center nearest the piano, did you pray that prayer? Just slip up your hand. I will say thank you, and with that you may put it down. Anyone at all, just slip up your hand. Moving over to the next section to your right. Did anyone in this section pray that prayer? And by that would say, Larry, I walked in here an unforgiven sinner. Today, because of Jesus, I'm walking out forgiven. Again, just slip up your hand, anyone at all. Moving over to the next section to your right, the section right in front of the sound booth, Anyone pray that prayer today? Thank you. Anyone else? Then finally, over to this final section, the one closest to the drums. Did anyone pray that prayer this morning? Just slip up your hand. And by that, say, I trusted Christ as Savior today. Now, how many of you Christians would say, Pastor Larry, I needed that reminder today. Things in life have taken a turn and it's caused me to have difficulty in giving my thanksgiving to God. Thank you for reminding me that I can be thankful because of my salvation. And I needed to hear that today. Would you slip up your hand? Believers all across this sanctuary, all across this worship center, thank you. You may put them down. Father in heaven, you know what is going on in the lives of every one of these dear brothers and sisters in Christ who raised their hand. Lord, I pray that you would regularly remind them of what you have done for them so they could be thankful to you. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.